Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 220, recorded on August 15th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as always, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, because I just am, so there.
You're being? You're one with everything?
I just am.
Good. That's a good way to be. Being is a good way to be. And Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I'm doing good. So that thing I was going to tell you about, Rocket City Rednecks.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know, something that showed up
you
on
don't
my Netflix.
Know?
Two seasons of guys that are rocket scientists and rednecks doing like crazy, building crazy crap in their garage.
That actually sounds really cool.
In their dad's garage.
That sounds awesome, actually.
I'm enjoying it.
It's kind of astonishing how, at least to me, how so many, it seems like every person who is a rocket scientist or engineer in that way, so many of them seem like they're from the South, which is just interesting to me.
Well, because they're in Huntsville.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but
they
but
made
so
a rocket
many
that runs on moonshine.
Yeah, they made a moonshine rocket.
That's what I'm implying. I'm implying that they're a bunch of dummies. No, that's not true.
They have
good education.
Joe has more degrees than most people.
No, I'm
know.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that.
It's hilarious. It's fun.
What is it called?
Rocket City Rednecks.
Rocket City Rednecks.
Sounds interesting.
Oh, so Rocket City is probably Huntsville.
Wow. First episode is called Bomb Proof My Pickup.
That sounds awesome.
There's another one called Junkyard Iron Man.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so cool.
I'm checking this out.
They made an Iron Man suit.
The rest of my day is gone, thanks to you.
Although it was made out of plywood and like actuators from old cars.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds like my kind of show.
Like auto lock actuators.
I know Skip
Hillbilly
will be watching
hovercraft
that.
Slingshot into orbit.
Okay.
Tornado-proof outhouse. I'm looking forward to that episode. I haven't gotten there yet.
So let's talk about things that happened this week. The few things that happened relevant to this.
Did some stuff happen?
The title of the show, of course, is in reference to iOS
Adam's
things.
Go do something.
Yeah, well, you're the one who brought up the redneck thing, so I can vamp if I want. So Apple added Beats music to the App Store list of apps made by Apple. Which is minorly interesting to me, I guess.
Because they didn't make it?
They didn't really make it, but now they did because they bought Beats, and now they're Beats, and Beats
so
are them.
Claiming ownership.
So, yes, they did.
So there you go.
Yeah. So there you go, I guess. That's all you can really say about it.
I still haven't figured Beats out.
I haven't really used it much, but I don't know if I've even figured it out.
I got in on the free like AT&T 90-day trial or whatever they
do.
60-day trial.
90. And mine's up soon, I think. Maybe on the 18th. I have a reminder to cancel it.
Me too.
Look how organized we are.
Well, I just don't want to forget because it costs a lot if I don't want it.
Well, it doesn't cost a lot, but it certainly costs money. It's not like hundreds of dollars, but anyway. So moving right along, this is kind of interesting. So USB 3.1, right, is the new standard that's coming up soon. Features
are they going to make the connector bigger?
No, it's a reversible connector.
And it's smaller.
Is it smaller?
God.
Well, it's smaller than USB 2 connector and the USB 3 connector, but it's not like micro USB size.
But USB 3 micro USB and USB 3 just regular, the connector is stupidly huge.
Is it? I'd always assumed that it was the same size as USB 2. Is that what you're saying? No.
No.
It's bigger.
Not the end that goes into the device. If you have, do you have any USB 3 hard drives?
No. Yeah. So you're saying that
it's got this little extra chunk on it. It's like it's there's like two parts to it, kind of, and it's wide. It's
the data tumor.
Is that what it is?
The data tumor.
That's what I call it.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow, I've never seen that before. So it's either vertically or horizontally placed?
Extra. Yeah, there's kind of two ways they go. They go with the square, and then there's a square bump underneath. Or if you have, like, I have a USB 3 powered drive, and it's kind of off to the side. That's really lame.
I think they messed up. I don't think they did it correctly. Now that I'm seeing, I think that they should have not done it this way, because this looks stupid.
Exactly.
This is, I mean, I've seen tons of hard drives out there, USB 2 hard drives that have little so-called data tumors on them. And I just assume it's because they're portable drives that don't have external power, right? So you have two connectors, one for power, one for actual data.
Oh, yeah, the little split cable thing where you have two regular USB things that plug into your...
And then on the other end, there's a micro USB and like a mini USB, one for power, one for data, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, they made it backwards compatible usually on the computer end, it looks like a regular USB 2 cable, but it's on the device end where the cable's messed up. That's what I'm talking about.
Interesting. That's weird. So the thing about, okay, so the other side of this story is that there have been some cables that we're seeing that look like actual legit, possibly legit cables for lightning. So reversible, so USB 3.1 on one end and then lightning on the other, that Apple may be introducing soon, which kind of makes sense if we're going to start seeing USB 3.1. Apple likes to stay on top of that stuff. The only issue that I see, of course, is that we've had this USB standard for, you know, 10 years or whatever. Don't quote me on that, but we've had it for a long, long time. And even USB 3.0 is backwards compatible with USB 1, and all the connectors work. They fit in the same plug. So with this reversible USB cable, yeah, it's cool that it's reversible, and I'm totally for that. But I wonder what Apple's going to do with upcoming computers, if they do indeed plan on doing that, especially with the fact that the Retina Macs are of thinner profile and they like to minimize stuff. So and I think the maximum number of ports you get on a Mac, right, is two. Is it two USB ports or three on a 15 inch?
Depends on the model,
one.
I think.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of curious. Maybe they'll give you one. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Apple plays this. I highly doubt that they would...
Can it be adapted?
It might be able to be adapted. I'm not sure.
So
but
if it can be adapted, I would imagine they would have just quickly adopt the new connector and then just
sure.
say,
that would make sense.
But I doubt they're going to...
Here's a $20 adapter, deal with it.
No. Okay.
What do you mean no? That's exactly how...
Well, they're not
going to
do it right now. They can't do it in 2 or 3 months. They can't just throw... What I'm saying is they can't put this cable in the box for the iPhone 6, if that's the only cable, right? Because that would just be insane.
But what are we talking about? This is a...
This lightning to USB 3.1 cable.
Why would you need that for an iPhone?
You wouldn't. But it's new and cool because it's reversible and all that. What I'm saying is I doubt they're going to be utilizing this for the standard thing. They may just sell it as a third party for now because no computers have this.
I'd be surprised to see anything with USB 3 this year.
My
assumption is that it'll start rolling out with adapters so you can use it with older ports sometime next year.
Yeah.
And I thought you were talking about on the Mac side. You know, I think they'll adopt it on newer Macs once it's out there in a standard, and then make you use an adapter if you need to hook up your older USB 2 or USB 3.
Yeah, but I would devices. See that in maybe a year or two kind of thing, depending on how they implement
it. Yeah, sometimes Mac models next year I would see at some point having USB 3.1 connectors instead of...
Yeah, it makes sense.
Or is this
cool.
Is the connector only on the device side? I'm only seeing one end of this cable, so sorry if I'm getting this wrong.
Oh, do you mean... I'm pretty sure it requires a new version of the USB.
So this reversible end, is this going to be the end that plugs into my computer?
Yeah.
Or plug... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Apple will pick it up next year sometime.
I would imagine
and
so.
And then just like, hey, I've got a USB 2 drive. What do I do? Well, then you need a USB 2 to USB 3.1 cable or something like that.
Or another Thunderbolt adapter.
Or some sort of adapter. Yeah, exactly.
So this was kind of silly. So the, let's see, the Secretary General of the National Broadcasting and Telecommunications Commission in Thailand announced the iPhone 6 would be, or has been approved. They've approved Apple's application to distribute two iPhone 6 models in the country. And this is a tweet. And Apple was not super happy that they did this. Then, and the report came out maybe 2 days later saying that Apple has already met with officials there in Thailand that, you know, saying that they're not happy about it. And basically their response, and I thought was kind of interesting, was we don't care. But if you really think this is a big deal, you don't have to sell your iPhone in our country.
Well, there you go.
Now, the other detail in this story is that Apple was quick to point out the fact that iPhone 6 may or may not be the name of one or both of those phones, those devices, which makes sense to me because I'm wondering if they're, I mean, there's probably going to be the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6C, right? And it may line up to be that we've heard all these reports about, and there's actually another one we were going to talk about somewhere on this list. I don't see where it, I think it was the Wall Street Journal. Yes, the Wall Street Journal said that the higher end iPhone 6 will get the sapphire display as well as a higher price tag. And as we've said before, again and again, we don't see this happening where Apple is going to have an iPhone 6 where it's like, you can get the regular one or you can pay $100 to get the fancy sapphire one.
Yeah, if anything, I'm going to caveat that. I don't. My thing is, I don't want that to be the case. Should it happen, or could it happen?
It could.
I'm saying it's plausible
in the universe,
and I'd be not happy.
Yeah, well, okay, so what I am thinking is, of course, none of these places are getting full details because Apple is the only one with full details on what their plans are, right? Uh-huh. If anything, if we're going to see the next pair of models that we're going to see, if one of them doesn't get the Sapphire, all iPhone 6 models will have Sapphire displays. The iPhone 6C, well, if one of them doesn't get it, it's going to be the C, right?
Is there going to still be a C?
Why wouldn't there be? I think they'll continue the C.
Unless the C has sold so poorly that it doesn't make sense. But I'd be surprised if that's the case.
I don't think
it is. I see a lot of 5Cs.
Yeah.
A lot.
I'm starting to see a lot more of them as well, too.
Yeah, me too. Yep. So I think that that's probably what's gonna go on. If one of them doesn't get it, it's gonna be the C, and it's not gonna be something that's really talked about. It's just gonna be the iPhone 6 gets the
5S, right?
Yeah, potentially.
In a new case.
And it's not. And I would guess that there's also the fact that Apple probably wants to continue producing phones at the current screen size, right? For people who don't want bigger sizes, and I'm sure they're aware of that fact that people don't, not everybody wants a bigger phone. One would think that the 6C would probably end up being the smaller one, the smaller of the two, and just be the 5S essentially.
Right.
So yeah, those are my thoughts. Now, did you guys see the round True Tone flash part that has come out? So we're starting to see actual seemingly legitimate parts come out, as we do about every time this year. And we're also seeing how these parts sometimes line up with the previous parts in terms of casing and such. Now, this is kind of cool because from my perspective, it looks like the, with the 5S, we have the dual LED flash with the, it's like a green and an amber or something like, or a green and an orange. And this is rounded. So instead of being an oblong thing, this is rounded. So kind of going back to the original shape, it looks as though we may have, it might have dual LEDs for each one, possibly. Right? Would that make sense for them going to a circular thing, or maybe they're just, it just gets better distribution if they set it up in that configuration? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. But just better light spread in that configuration makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. I'm sure they'll talk about it when they actually when there's a real announcement. They'll say, "We've decided to, you know, we come up with a new flash, and it's better because of this." They like to talk. They like to talk up their cameras. So I'm sure we'll hear something about it.
That seems like a pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
Michael, did you see the photos that show the complete iPhone 5.6 or iPhone 6?
Maybe. I don't think I have it.
Just came out.
Like today. No, where's that? Bet that's on the Mac Observer.
It's totally on the Mac Observer. You're about to have a link.
Is it on the Mac Absorber though?
You mean the site that sucks up all the news?
And doesn't display anything? Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. So they put the did they grab the logic board leak? Because there was a logic board leak in the last week or so, right? Like an assembled logic board?
Yeah, well, this is supposedly a completed pre-production iPhone 6 that was smuggled out of the Foxconn factories.
Wow. And this is, what is the source on this?
TMZ of all places.
Okay.
Just so you know, TUAW looked at that and they've determined, or they believe, that this is that prototype that was floating around of the people who hacked an Android phone.
Uh-huh.
With an iPhone looking case. And I think the part that they're pointing to as the fakety fake is the SIM card tray. Looks like it's inset a little bit. It's not totally flush.
It does look pretty crappy.
And it has the lens that protrudes for the camera.
Yeah, well, the jury's still out on that one. I mean, we don't want it, certainly. We don't want that protruding thing. And it seems like a dumb move. Now, the only question I would have is, what does the carrier say up at the top? Does it say no SIM? Because if it says no SIM, it's possible that that thing... I've seen iPhones where if you don't have an actual SIM card in the tray, it will do that. It will suck in like that.
And I can't tell from the photos if it says.
Well, and of course, no one would punk TMZ, would they?
No. No, why would they do that? It doesn't have HealthBook on it either, which is interesting.
And they claim to have a reason for that also.
Oh, which is, I'm sure they do.
Yeah, which is that this is a version of iOS that's being used for testing as opposed to the actual shipping version.
Sure.
Yeah, but in the photo that's there, I can't tell what it says, where it should show the carrier.
I wonder if it has an FCC thing on the back of it, which is no longer required. So that could be an indication that it's fakety fake.
Even the metal looks like it's painted on.
It doesn't,
like it's plastic
with the front doesn't really match up with the metal in the way that we're kind of expecting it to. The more seamless way that Apple likes to do it. The quality overall doesn't seem very good. Although it is interesting to see the what do you call it, the screen assist thing that you can call up, where you can perform functions on the screen that one would otherwise have to press hardware buttons for, like Siri and the home button.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that one would include that feature, which is kind of a deep feature in your fake Android thing. Although it could just be a screenshot, who the hell knows? At this point, let's just say,
also,
who cares?
Look, actually, another thing they pointed out, look at the icon for the calendar.
Okay.
Look at the number 13 on there.
Uh-huh.
It's way too fat.
It does look pretty fat.
And look at iOS 8. It's like super thin.
Wafer-thin?
It's wafer-thin on the font for the calendar app.
Yeah.
So if that is a variant of iOS 8, it's good. It's widely too bold.
So Jeff, what would you say to this? Although you did write the article on TMO. I don't know if you want to call yourself out.
Well, I mean, there's nothing to indicate this is legit.
Sure.
The timing of the photos coming out fits with when I would expect to see things like this show up based on when we think the media event will be. But yeah, there's nothing to say that this is real.
There's also no tick marks on the Safari icon.
Is that true? I mean, can you really tell from this?
Yeah, look at the photo. Yeah, you can tell. The Safari icon's right there in the front.
I can't find my...
And the needles, it looks like... the needle might be at the right angle.
We're really picking this apart.
So
in a non-visual show.
Just as likely fake as legit,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The tick marks... Yeah, you would be able to see... be able to see some of these. I'll put a link to in the show notes so everybody can play along at home.
Sure.
Dissecting this stuff. So I'll put a link to the Mac Observer article here. I'll put it under the iPhone 6 Weeks.
I think this is the skinned Android. The Android with the iOS 8 skin.
So did they use the leaked components, the casing components, in order to generate this? Is that what we're assuming? So
I think they used mock-up components. I don't think they used leaked case components. I think they used mock-up components.
So that would explain why we're seeing the rounded flash.
Is that the same source for this rumor?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying we're seeing a rounded flash. So
yeah, you're right. We are seeing a rounded flash on this.
But it's tough to say if it's the true tone. We are seeing the protruding lens, so that's
it's not going to have those metal inserts either, just for the record.
The metal inserts?
The end cap inserts with the stupid antenna brakes.
We're hoping. Here's hoping. I'm kind of warming up to the idea, though, I have to say. Maybe a sucker, but...
Fugly.
Yeah, we'll see. What else? Oh, moving on to some part leaks, some more part leaks. And this is from, again, from the Feld and Volk, the guys who do the luxury mods on iPhones. They've gotten more parts, and I like the screen that they show. This looks pretty legit to me because there's a lot. It looks like there's a lot of care taken in. This front panel, this alleged front panel, with the rounding of the edges, the tapering, I should say, toward the edges. Do you see that, guys? It looks really cool. And that looks like something that would probably go perfectly with the more rounded casing that we'll be seeing. So I would say that looks pretty legit. We get to see a power button, a sleep wake, I should say, and a ring silent switch, as well as a SIM card tray. Although we don't see the side, so who knows? We can't really match that up to those other photos. But this looks pretty legit.
Are they still claiming NFC?
Did they? Are these the guys who said NFC?
Oh, I don't know. Were we talking about the logic board?
No, we're talking about the. The components for the front panel in a couple.
Oh,
of those
sorry,
things. But I guess Feld and Volk, they do speculate that the Apple logo could house NFC an NFC antenna, but
no,
that doesn't make any
there's
sense.
There's no NFC.
No, because well, I mean, if anything, it's not going to be in the Apple because it's a friggin' metal piece that's not going to work.
And there's no NFC.
Well,
if it's
liquid metal, like were they the source of that leak too? If it is liquid metal, I believe that material is radio transparent.
I don't know about that. But that'd be cool, though. Is that supposed to be one of the things that liquid metal is good for, is radio transparency?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
That would be pretty cool. It would make sense. Huh. Let's see. Yeah. We got the logic board, an assembled logic board with all these components on it. We see it is the 4.7 inch, right? Not the 5.5 or the 5, whatever everybody's talking about is and isn't coming.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how everything that's leaking is for a 4.7 inch model, nothing for a 5 inch?
That is interesting. And I wanted to point that out, so I'm glad that you did. We have seen nothing for this 5.5 inch iPhone 6, except for, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe we have seen some what could just be mock-ups of the rear case, which is just a scaled up version of the 4.7. We have seen no other internal components that one might expect to see at this point in the game, right?
Right.
Yeah, no cables, none of that. So, I'm thinking less and less that we're going to see a 5.5 inch iPhone. And another one to throw in there, Pegatron. According to DigiTimes, they have a contract to produce 50% of the 4.7 inch iPhone 6 orders. No mention of 5.5 inch.
So, which half are they making?
I don't think it matters, Jeff.
No, it probably doesn't.
Yeah. And also, I believe this is from Bloomberg. Bloomberg says that Apple is preparing, they're gearing up, as they say, to produce next-gen iPads, iPad Air 2 and iPad Mini Retina Mark II, or whatever we're going to call that. For starting in September and being released in October, which makes sense. And although they do say that the Air is going to have an anti-reflective coating, which may make supplies a little more constrained at first.
I hope so, and I hope it works better than their anti-oleophobic coating.
I hope so, too.
I'm hoping so, too.
I would love to be able to read my
or their iPad. I guess it's not outside. Anti-oleophobic. That would be wrong. Oleophobic.
Or maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, maybe they got too many negatives in there when they ordered what they wanted.
And now there's Apple engineers going, we don't get it. There shouldn't be oil on these screens, but it's just, like a magnet.
It's like a friggin' magnet here. Yeah, so it'd be nice to read an iPad outside when it's not dark and there's sunlight. That'd be nice. If you could take an iPad to the beach.
It would help with my droning.
Your drone, you do drone on a lot, Adam. So maybe we shouldn't help that.
I'd be able to better fly my I did finally take my Parrot AR drone out for its first outdoor flight.
Cool.
Yes, I didn't crash anything, although it was kind of windy and it flew around quite a bit.
I want to play with one of those things. I have not played with one of those things yet. Have you played with one before you got one?
No.
Are they cool? Are they awesome?
The AR drone?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my
They're crazy
one time.
Cool.
It's awesome. Yeah. Indoors, I flew it a lot indoors.
I really like that.
That was awesome.
It seems like more and more filmmakers are using these things for really cool stuff.
I have a DJI too.
What's that?
A DJI Phantom 2. It's like a more robust upscale version.
When did you get this?
For my birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember Adam telling us about this on this very show.
Yeah, shows that I pay attention. No, this is cool. Yeah, so you can, wow. So you get high def video from this, right?
I don't have the Vision 2, which is the version that comes with the high def camera. Which one are you talking about, the Parrot?
The DJI Phantom 2.
Yeah, Phantom 2 Vision. Or you probably actually want the Vision Plus, which has a gimbal on it, which lets you, you know, beam the camera around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those have high definition. The one I have is just the base platform, so I have to actually mod it to
you have to add that
and it's pretty easy to mod. if I want to add actually camera functions. So you put a GoPro on there,
yeah,
and a powered gimbal, and away you go.
That's cool. So it's good. The point of this thing is that it's suitable for payloads, for sizable, yes, payloads.
Yeah, it has some lift to it. And it does much better in the wind than the Parrot, because it's got a little more, not necessarily weight, I don't think. It's just built a little bit sturdier.
Yeah.
It's less of a toy and more of a tool.
Cool. I like it. What else do we have here? This is the last story. We're only 30 minutes in. We got the last story now. Because Adam has to get out of here.
Yeah, I got to leave in like 5 minutes.
In like 5 minutes. Okay, so it's good that this is a short show. Siri co-founders, they're building the next gen of Siri. They're calling it Vive. And it sounds pretty cool, because one of the talking points of this is that it will it'll come up with programs on the fly. So you say, find me airline tickets find me an airline seat that would be suitable for Shaq, right? So this is a pretty complex thing for an AI to do, and they say that what it would do is make several different connections, of course, with travel websites and things that determine what legroom you get with certain seats, and then go out and grab some NBA information and be able to pull up Shaq's stats and then be able to figure out with all that information what seats would be good for you, and then pull that information together and display it, which would be awesome. And they say that their vision is beyond mobile and everything. They want it to just be everywhere. They just want this AI to proliferate. And so whether or not they would be partnering with Apple or licensing to Apple, it's unclear. I'm sure Apple would love to see that, especially considering the fact that Siri has seemingly remained fairly stagnant in a larger scale. Of course, there have been minor improvements here and there, but I mean, it's certainly not even as good as Google now. But then again, who knows? I mean, it could be that Apple can't do a Google now because they don't want to gather as much information as Google does because of their concern over privacy.
That's possible. So the thing about Viv or Vive, however you want to say it,
sure,
that gets me like really excited and a little bit scared is that it learns.
Right. It learns.
Yeah. So it will get smarter the more you use it and the more people in general are using it.
Yeah.
And I could see at some point where it's smart enough where all of a sudden your phone tells you that you got an email for a media event on such and such date, and it went ahead and put it on your schedule, booked your flight and your hotel, and everything's waiting for you, ready to go. And you haven't even seen the email yet.
That'd be cool. Yeah, this is certainly the kind of thing that I continue to desire is a true personal assistant that is digital, right? Because that's the kind of thing that a personal assistant would do for you.
Yes.
But the difference, and I keep thinking about privacy, maybe we shouldn't, because we have 5 minutes, maybe we shouldn't dive into that this time.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. So we won't talk about privacy. But yeah, it would be awesome, completely awesome, if either Apple got was able to license this tech or get a hold of it somehow, or just implement their own version of it. That would be great, because we all want improvements to Siri, right?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So with that, we have our picks to talk about, and I forget which order I usually do it in, so I'll just go first
since I have to drop off.
Okay, Adam, we'll go first.
All right. I'm actually picking a book this time around, and I thought I had picked this, but I did searching, and maybe I didn't pick it on this show. It's actually a book I've had for a long time called Revolution in the Valley by Andy Hertzfeld, one of the co-creators of the Macintosh. And Andy's kind of into history. He actually runs a site called folklore.org, where he collected stories from different folks, mostly from him. I think he wrote most of it, but he was trying to collect first-person sort of short stories or just anecdotes
Anecdotes.
Sure. From the people who were on the early Apple and Macintosh teams. And so he put out this book a while ago, and it's just a collection of those little kind of short stories. And there's all kinds of cool stuff in here, you know, things about Bicycle for the Mind and talking, you know, and it gets real technical. You know about the Bicycle for the Mind sort of thing?
Yeah.
And the story about Texaco, you know, Texaco Towers is in here, and Siri's actually went off for some reason.
Did she say, did she ask you? Did it seem like she heard a command for you?
Yep, she did. Regardless, it is a great book, and it's got a bunch of cool stories about the early days of the Mac from, the 90 hours a week and loving it story, you know. So if you want to know about all that Apple folklore stuff, it's a really great book for that. Cool. I don't know. I was going to check if it was on the iBookstore. I don't know if it is. I would assume it is.
One would assume.
The physical book is really nice. I have the hardbound edition. I don't even know if it's in softbound. But so, Revolution in the Valley by Andy Hertzfeld. For your Apple sort of history and Mac history. It's got a foreword by Woz, too. So,
of course.
Bonus.
Awesome. Yeah, you can get this from Amazon if you so desire. It for like $7-$8. Hardcover from $2.53, paperback from $7.34. And Kindle for $10. Don't get the Kindle version though.
I was going to see. I bet you it's on the iBook store.
Okay, yeah, do that.
$20 though.
What is this e-textbook thing? Is that a new thing for Amazon? It says you can get this in e-textbook.
Yeah, I think that's a new thing they're doing.
Like today, new?
No, like in the last few weeks.
Okay. I don't know. But that's my pick, and I've got to run.
All right, Adam, thanks. We'll see you later.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye.
So, but yeah, what is this? Do you know about this e-textbook thing? Is this different?
I remember hearing about it.
Okay. So it's different from Kindle?
Yes. But you can look at e-text on Kindle, and I believe it's Amazon's attempt to create a textbook format, much like Apple did with the whole iBooks author thing.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that is an unfortunate failure, at least at this point, because in my experience, whenever I look for a textbook, I look in the iBook store because I would love to get an iBook textbook because I don't like carrying around textbooks. I don't mind paying for them. But the problem is if you pay for one of the versions, like if you pay for a Pearson book, an e-textbook, you have to use it within the Pearson ebook app. And yes, it can be on your iPad, but it is terrible.
Yes. It's really bad.
Yeah. And actually it's just PDFs. And I know because I've actually gone in and I've pulled the data from my iPad when I got, I bought a chemistry book and pulled it up in the Pearson thing. And I just downloaded all the chapters and then I extracted it from my iPad and then just merged it as one PDF and made my life so much simpler because it said, even though that I had downloaded, those chapters for offline use, and that's like the purpose of downloading it.
Mm-hmm.
They periodically, like I'm in class trying to pull up something on my iPad, and I it says, "Oh, you have to be logged in and online in order to do this." But it wasn't a consistent thing. It would just do it whenever it decided I needed to be online and log in.
That's lame.
Yeah, pretty lame. So I'm glad that I got the PDF. So it would be nice if I could find a source of either. I mean, I would love the iBooks because the iBooks they just work as Apple likes to make it do that, or just a good PDF with table of contents. I'd be fine paying for that. I just can't find it because they have to have their DRM in there, and it that blows.
I agree. It's unfortunate and it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And ultimately, students get screwed.
Yeah. I agree. And even the cheap books, you can get cheap open source books. I had experience with one of those and it was awful. You can pay $30 for this book, which is cool on paper, but then you realize, oh, the production value is really terrible and you don't get as much out of it.
So, yeah, that totally sucks.
Yeah, it's a dilemma for sure. So I'm glad that Apple's working on it. Maybe one day I'll be able to find a book that I need on the iBook store. But so far it has not happened. So, Jeff, what is your pick?
My pick is a cool little app that I got turned on to this last week from one of my Twitter followers who suggested that I try out BTL Explorer when I lost my Fitbit.
Hmm.
And okay, so the problem is with a device like a Fitbit, it's transmitting a Bluetooth signal so it can synchronize or upload data to my iPhone, but it doesn't have a Find My Fitbit feature.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew about where I was when I lost my Fitbit. So I knew I was either inside my place or I was in the grass area just outside my place. And I couldn't find this thing. So BTL Explorer was suggested to me. I loaded it up and ultimately was able to use it to track down my Fitbit. So what the app is designed for is that it's actually a tool for developers, but anyone can go and download it for free. And the idea behind the app is let developers monitor the data that's going in and out of Bluetooth devices and monitor signal strengths and all that. And it's a signal strength part that I used. So I was able to figure out where my Fitbit was just by walking around and narrowing down by using a grid pattern to a specific area, which turned out to not be at all where I thought it was. I was certain I'd lost it out in the grass. It turns out that by the time I was narrowed down to one very specific area, I had 1/4 of my bedroom. And then at that point, I started setting off alarms and listening for the vibration. And sure enough, there it was.
Wow.
So BTL Explorer turned out to be a really great tool for finding my Fitbit. And as I'm walking around and I'm seeing my stylus pop up with its signal strength, I realized, wow, I could actually, if I lose one of my pressure-sensitive styluses, I could find it.
That's pretty cool. This.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't lost. You must have lost a few styli. You have like 20.
There's a couple that I don't know where they are. They may have been lent out. They may have been lost. I don't know where they are.
Yeah. Cool. That is really neat. So I bet there are a lot of other things you can do with that too.
Yeah, there's a lot you can do with it. And if you're a developer, I could see where this would be an invaluable tool as you work out the wireless communication issues that you might have with whatever product you're making.
Yeah. So this is an iPhone and iPad. It's a universal app. It's kind of bare bones, but it gets you the data you need.
Yes. And if you've lost your Fitbit and you have an idea where to look, it can save you $100.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've already looked at reviews on here on the iTunes store, and it says there are quite a few people saying it helped me find my Fitbit. So,
yep, there you go.
Cool. So my pick this week, is for Netflix people, Netflix instant users, which is Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. It is on Netflix.
Yes, Netflix streaming. I watched the first episode last night.
Isn't it so good?
I loved it. I was so happy. I'm finally getting to see the new Cosmos.
So you haven't seen it yet?
No.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah, I'm watching it again. I watched the whole thing, and I'm watching it again because it's so cool. And actually one of the neat things, if you think about what's going on in these, is there's a lot of explanation of natural forces and phenomena and all that stuff. But it's also, I think even more than that is the story of the discovery of those things and the people who did it and what they had to overcome in order to discover those and put those ideas out in the world. And it is so cool because they did their research. They really made sure they got these facts right and figured out who discovered what first and what the story was behind it. And it is just so fascinating.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to watching the rest of the series. I was so pleased with that first episode.
Yeah.
And especially at the end when Neil deGrasse Tyson starts talking about when he met Carl Sagan.
Yeah, that is a really cool story.
Yeah, I absolutely loved that.
Yeah. Yeah. Check it out on Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, well then, I don't know, find it somewhere.
There you go.
Because it's awesome. You can find it at the, I was going to say, I found it at my video rental place, which is funny because I wasn't sure that those places existed until I found this place, which is kind of neat because I actually use it, oddly enough.
That's really weird.
It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I had no idea there were any left.
There are. Yeah, it's a local. It's not like Blockbuster or anything, but it's, they get DVDs quicker than Netflix or Redbox does. They get it basically as soon as it's available to purchase.
Yeah, they probably go down to Walmart and buy it.
Yeah, probably. I would imagine they do that. So yeah, Cosmos. Of course, you can find all of our picks in the show notes. Why do I have this written still in my notes? I'm going to delete that now so I don't ever say that again. The iOSshow.com is where you find the picks in the show notes. And of course, review the show in iTunes. Tell a friend. That really helps. And of course, you can send your feedback to feedback@theiOSshow.com.
No way.
I totally figured it out.
And I That's got awesome.
Work. So the email address is now working. You can send it to feedback@wavecommunicators.com if you want. It'll still work, but I would recommend sending it to theiOSshow.com because it's fewer characters to type.
And it's new and it's hip.
It is, yeah. So for those who don't know and have like Google app accounts with domain, you know, the free version of that before they got rid of it, you can go in there. If you go into the domains version or the domains section of your settings, you can add extra domains to it, and then you can set them up as aliases for the domain that you already have registered. And then all you have to do is go into your whatever your domain registrar's page is and punch in the information that it tells you to do, and then it'll do all the magic for you, and then you can get the same sort of result if you change your domain name.
Awesome.
Which is very cool, especially considering the fact that I don't pay for that service and Google still lets me do that sort of thing. So, awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah. Advertising, of course, is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Check out our sponsor for this month, which is Harry's at harrys.com. Get your get $5 off your shave kit with coupon code TIOSS for the iOS show. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at J Gamet on Twitter, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast.
Yep. And as always, it's loads of fun to do the show. So
it was fun. And we're doing it under an hour.
Yeah. That's crazy.
We're making it happen, Cap'n. Adam Christensen, like I said, MattCast.com, at MattCast on Twitter, member.MattCast.com. You know where to find him. He's more famous than me, so don't act like you can't find him.
Yeah, Adam is everywhere.
Of course, I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, at GetAppler, GetAppler.com/Michael is where you can find me on Appler, and you can find Jeff there and Adam and a bunch of other people and your friends, because you're going to tell your friends to go there and do their thing, and so you can see all the apps that they're using, and it's just fun because
it's a big party. Yeah. Right on your screen.
On your screen, yeah. So I guess that's it. We'll see you next time on the iOS show.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?